ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey, race fans, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. I am your host, the Gas Man.
How's it going, everybody?
Hi, Lugs. So that was my co-host, Lugs, that everybody knows. Thank you for that.
I'm raring to go, man. Let's talk about Bristol.
Yeah, let's talk about Bristol.
The last great Coliseum.
The last great.
Also, I'm feeling better this week. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, actually, I was going to bring that up because this might be the first time in the history of Wrecking and Racing podcast that we're both at 100%. We've been suffering through some sinus issues, some stuff like that. So bear with us, fans. Thank you again for joining us this week. A couple things to shout out for. We've developed some fans from Australia. So, hey, mates, if you're listening, cheers. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Any other fans out there that ever want to reach out to us, talk to us, WreckingYourRacing.com. If you ever want to support us, go to our website, WreckingYourRacing.com. On that website, there's a link for you to click. Send us emails, WreckingYourRacing@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We love you guys. We're here for you. Send us email. Reach out to us. Say hi. We're lonely people. So, let's get started. First off, we have to have our beer, right? We can't have a show without beer.
That's true.
And that's for your guys' sake because...
You gotta lead into it.
Yeah, we're pretty boring. So here it comes. Official beer NASCAR Busch Light. Cheers, mates.
It's no Fosters, but...
Again. Yeah. Australian full beer. So, fans, the last great Coliseum, Bristol. If you've been fans for a long time like us, you remember the good old days. You remember the days where it sucked.
Which were pretty recent, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're to the point of, it wasn't too bad.
It kind of had the Bristol of old a little bit of feel to it. You know, that lower single groove.
Yeah.
You had to pass on the lower groove. Not that you had to at this race, but the older style. So, good to see it getting closer back to its old reform.
Too bad it was rained out. We've had a lot of weather this season already. We did have 3 red flags throughout the race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I'm completely surprised that they even got it started Sunday at all, because going into it, the way they were spinning it was that it was going to be a complete washout on Sunday. So I was just kind of happy to see them get it started at all on Sunday.
Yeah, they weren't too far from being halfway, although the new rules, they have to be done with the second
stage.
Yep. Not halfway necessarily. Mm-hmm, so so fans out there listening, that is a rule change. I don't know if you caught on to that or not. Used to be, have to hit at halfway mark to be an official race. Now it has to be the completion of the second stage. But overall, I thought the racing was pretty good. There's 18 lead changes and 13 cautions. And obviously, we know we're going to have a couple of cautions just for the stages.
Oh, yeah.
But, there's some high-profile people that were involved.
Yeah.
And very tricky scenarios, kind of... Like, I was still Ryan Blaney out there, for example.
Nothing can
shit on your parade as much as being in the lead and some people going to lap down.
Yep. Good old traffic. Take you out. Lap traffic. Absolutely.
That poor kid.
Yeah. It's funny. There's actually a series I like to watch. There's a guy, the channel's called NASCAR Nixon on YouTube. Check him out. He has a compilation of, basically the history of all these lap cars, you know, getting in the way of leaders, and he comes out with a new video probably, I don't know, once a month of just, I think it's actually titled, the series is called Damn Lap Cars, but it's like the way back to like, you know, the 60s and stuff of the leaders that had run-ins when they're trying to put people a lap down. It's good stuff. You should check it out.
Maybe we should have named our podcast that.
Damn Lap Cars. Maybe.
Yeah, I think there's some marketing strategy there, you know? You can put that in your back window, whatever.
But yeah, so Blaney got caught up, had nowhere to go. You know, got collected in the crash. Crash happened up in front of him.
Who was all involved? McMurray.
Yeah, McMurray.
oh, there's a couple people I don't even remember their names. They're the starting parks for the most part. Yeah, that's okay.
The important part
is that the leader was caught up by lap down guys trying to race. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, they need a race. That's what they're there for.
Right, right. And at Bristol, you're going to run into lap traffic. So
yeah,
it's just one of the way of Bristol, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But before that, there was another crash that was like what, lap two or three.
I think it was lap two.
Yeah.
With you talking about with Chase?
Yeah, Chase got wrapped up in a little bit of a
Michael
crash.
McDowell
got into Suarez and spun down, and then Chase tried to check up and he spun, and I think Allmendinger, and then Truex came smashing in, and it was just, you know, product of Bristol racing. They couldn't get it shut down before.
Yeah, was Truex involved with that, you said?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. So I know Chase finished 29th and Truex finished 30th.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, Chase is kind of not having the best of seasons. He's not doing horrible, I guess, but he's not really living up to what we were expecting.
Well, with these,
Bristol's kind of an outlier like Talladega, mm-hmm. where you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So a couple other cars with trouble. Larson, you know, it's crazy. He spun out, but thankfully he didn't hit the wall or anything. He came back for a second place finish.
Yeah.
It's one hell of a rebound.
Yeah, yeah. Got spun by Newman, which, you know, you're either on one side of the fence on that or the other. You could say that he came down, Larson came down into Newman, or
Newman came up into Larson.
You could say, whatever, yeah, that, right. Or you could say Newman's is, you know, normal week in, week out self, where he's the most difficult person to freaking pass out.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
I blame the latter, or side on the latter there. I think he, you know, could have cut a little more slack there to the leaders. But
you know what's funny is that you talk about Newman being hard to pass.
Yeah.
That was in Dale Jr.'s podcast this week.
Because everybody knows it. Everybody knows it.
Jr.'s talking about racing Atlanta. He'd run the high lane. Newman would run the bottom and come up in front of him, and all that momentum that Junior had, he would run into the back of Newman.
He said he crashed him twice, I think.
So that's Dirty Mo Radio. They have, that's Dale Junior's podcast, so, you know, we listen to that. I recommend you guys listen to it as well as ours. Be fans of both. Keselowski had a little bit of trouble as well.
Yeah. He said something broke, but it looked like
the tire went
down or
right,
something.
Right.
But he was adamant, if you listen to Radioactive prior, to, you know, basically what dialogue he had in his conversation with his crew chief. He was saying something was wrong, something was broken, da-da-da-da, and then all of a sudden he was in the wall. So I think it was a tire, but, you know, he was definitely on the radio trying to call it out before it happened. So who knows? Maybe it was something that broke and led to that. I don't know.
23rd place finish for Brad.
And he won the first two stages. So
yes, he did. It was a strategy base, though, too.
Yeah.
But he was on a little bit different schedule than everybody else.
But Blaney, I mean, that sucks for him. Yeah. Anytime you're leading, but he led quite a few laps, too, and still had his issue.
Yeah. One surprising, and it's not really surprising, but one, I guess, kind of good takeaway was seeing Bubba lead some laps.
Bubba got some laps led. That was pretty cool. Seeing the STP colors up there leading.
Yeah. At the end, his tires kind of fell off and he kind of took a hit. I think he finished 15th, I believe it was.
Yeah, top 20, I think, but
16th.
Yeah, you know, yeah. He was pretty heartbroken. He was doing a vlog afterwards from his trailer, and he was pretty heartbroken, which I can't blame him, you know.
Sure, yeah, I mean, being a young guy like he is, he has a lot of pressure on him.
That, and let's be honest, the fact that he's went well and above my expectations for this year.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that.
I think they said he's got 3 top 10s already this year, and what, this is race 8? So, I mean, yeah, that's better than I thought he would be at this point. So
yeah, he's sitting at 21st in points, and just for comparison, Byron is sitting at 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Byron didn't have a great race. He didn't have a horrible race. I think he came in mid-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Hendrick. They still haven't found that magic touch. Bowman and Johnson.
Johnson got third.
Didn't do too bad. Now, had some of those other contenders been involved? Would they finish third?
Like you said, Bristol's an outlier. It's kind of like Talladega, you know. It's one of those races a lot of teams can, you know, have a really good run at. So we'll really have to see. Richmond really this weekend probably won't provide too much more insight there. I mean, Richmond short track.
Saturday night racing.
Yeah.
I love Richmond for that reason.
It probably won't be till we get to the next mile and a half. We'll really know, does Chevy or Hendrick have their stuff together? Where it needs to be.
Right now, there's only one Chevy in the top 10 in points, and it's Larson at ninth.
Hmm.
So for the new Camaro package, it's really not been a very good showing so far this season. But hopefully they can turn around and be a little more competitive.
They'll get there.
So finishing up the race, we all know what happened at the end of the race. The good old bump and run.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say I was not the gas man for once. I am not a fan of Kyle Busch, but I am starting to tolerate. Yeah.
You heard it, folks.
Yeah, tolerate him. Tolerate.
That's the gas man.
Yeah, tolerate Kyle Busch a little bit more. And we'll kind of get to that here in a few minutes on why. But overall, you know, good job to Kyle. I think if I was in position, I'd do the exact same thing. I think every true racer out there would do the same thing.
And it's all in their blood. They'd move their grandma out of the way to get
there. And I don't think I ever heard Larson complain once.
About being moved?
Yeah.
He didn't. And he admitted.
I think he kind of expected it.
He said he was a little too loose. You could tell he's pretty dejected. He said this is like the second or third time we've been beat by Kyle here. So, you know, you could tell he was pretty dejected about the whole situation, but he'll get there. I mean, it's
that's a sharp car he's driving too. That McDonald's car, I really like that. Yeah. I like that red and black. And Kyle's been the red car as well. Looks pretty decent as
Skittles.
Well.
Skittles. So.
So there was definitely some good paint schemes this week at Bristol. And
yeah, and we called it. We
predicted Kyle winning.
Kyle Busch. That is, would win it. Yes. And he did. So
yeah, I don't remember all of our other predictions. I didn't go back and write down what we had, but that's okay. I know we had Kyle Busch winning the race.
I know he said Allmendinger would be a decent, maybe top 10. I remember
17th.
That. So he was wrapped up a little bit in that first crash on like lap 2 or 3. I don't think he got a whole lot of damage from it, but you know, 17th isn't too bad.
Yeah, not at all. So anyway, again, congratulations to Kyle Busch. Kyle Larson finished second as well. I mean, there's nothing to complain about there.
Stenhouse had a good run.
Yeah. Yeah, he was top five. Yeah, he was running second to Larson, pushing on Larson pretty hard for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle moved him out of the way, too.
Yeah, and then Almirola came home sixth. That's a decent run for him.
And he's continuing to have a decent season.
Consistent.
Yeah.
Harvick, you know, I never really heard anybody mention too much from him. And I think seventh is pretty respectable considering the fact that he was in a backup car and crashed his primary, you know, the day before. So,
yeah.
Or 2 days before, whatever it was.
So, one person we thought was going to do well, Eric Jones,
mm-hmm.
finished 26th.
I think he was running pretty well, though.
He was running top 10. And then
I didn't get to see all really of Monday just because I had to work. But
yeah, unfortunately. And
the highlights I did see, it looked like he was running okay for a while there.
Sure, and that's I kind of in the same boat. I'm sure most of our fans are as well, where we had our jobs. We had but I'm not going to lie, I did sneak some views on online as I was working. So talking about that, I'm glad you kind of brought that up about being at work on Monday. I seen a lot of complaints from racers and people within the NASCAR community about fans showing up on Monday. There was nobody there, I guess.
Yeah, what do you expect? I mean,
but what I'm getting to is you kind of expect that whenever you push a race on the Monday afternoon, but yeah,
that's what really irritates me, and maybe this is where you're going with it, but the people, the quote, I'm putting this in air quotes, the quote NASCAR fans that just completely bitch on social media about how NASCAR sucks now and NASCAR isn't what it used to be and there's no one in the stands. You know what? I don't want to hear it because you're part of the problem. Those people are part of the problem. Those are probably the same people that aren't going to the race. So if you're upset about it, then do something about it. Go to the tracks. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it really irritates me to hear some of these people just bash it. I mean, no sport is like it was, you know, 20 years ago or 10
back
years
in their,
ago.
Back in their heyday, their prime.
Yeah. I mean, that's human nature. I mean, everything's going to go through cycles. And right now, I mean, NASCAR's, it's trending down a little bit from viewership and, you know, I guess you could say sponsors as well. But overall, I mean, it's still profitable. There's still people watching it.
I mean, he's still a Daytona. You have 50,000 seats, but you still have 80,000
people there. You're still selling
out
races, selling out Homestead. I don't know all the others but I mean, I know there's been some last year that sold out. Homestead has sold out like every year for a few years. Heck, even Watkins Glen the last few years has sold out. So it just grinds my gears when you have these quote NASCAR fans and all they do. Anytime NASCAR posts anything on Facebook, just look at the comments. They just blast
armchair quarterbacks,
to just find anything and everything to complain and bitch and moan about, and it's so frustrating.
I agree. A couple of comments I seen actually came from Michael Waltrip and Ricky Craven.
Yeah, I saw one from Kenny Wallace. Yeah,
I didn't see one from Kenny Wallace. I mean, I didn't see that, but I'm sure it's probably right along the same lines of what they how disappointed as being previous drivers, etc., and being part of the sport that they are about the fans showing up.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, not really retrospect, but in kind of a devil's advocate to them, is it is a Monday afternoon. People, not everybody has vacation time to take, PTO time to take.
Exactly.
So calling out fans the way they did, I didn't like, because I think any fan that could be there, that wanted to be there, would have been there.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is anytime you go, you're going to plan a vacation, you're going to go to a NASCAR race, are you going to go ahead and take another extra day the day after, just in case it's a rain delay and pushed, and then push your travel day another day? I mean, most people aren't going to do that.
So talking about that, where are we going in July, Lugs?
July, we're going to Daytona.
Yeah, we're going to go watch the Coke Zero Sugar 400. And again, fans, for ones that are still listening to this point, 18 minutes in, we're going to try it.
They're all listening.
They're there. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No one's left.
Yeah. So we're going to try to definitely have a meetup, maybe have lunch or something. We'll try to figure out something. We'll definitely tweet it out and tweet it out and Facebook it, whatever we got to do to reach out to everybody and let them know. But what I was going to with that, you have a normal job, Lux, right?
Yes.
I have a normal job. So we're on a very limited time frame. So the race is Saturday night, which is a good thing for us. But let's say it gets rained out.
Right.
We're screwed.
It's going to move to Sunday.
Yeah.
If it doesn't rain through Sunday.
Exactly. And we have a flight to catch that's, we're limited on flights back to where we live, essentially.
Yep.
So we are very, very limited. And so I'm getting to is that some fans have those restrictions. And we're pretty diehard fans. And if they move that race to Monday, guess who won't be there?
Right.
I mean, no matter how much we want to take extra vacation, our expenses would quadruple staying there. We would lose pay and whatever else. Well,
right, and we can't make, unless you do the insurance and all that on your flights, you just can't just make those changes most of the time.
Right, exactly. And, unfortunately, we are taking a budget airline of Allegiant Air.
Which is have some other issues going on right now this week.
Yeah, exactly. And, I have friends that work for Allegiant. I have nothing bad to say for them. I have not flown them yet. So I do have expectations it's going to go fine. I'm not one of those people who worry about, what might happen. Yeah. I'm worrying about what will happen.
Tell everyone, for those of our listeners that don't know what Allegiant Air is going through this week.
Yeah, so essentially, I think it was 60 Minutes did a special on them about essentially using old, rundown equipment, not keeping up on the maintenance, and just kind of overall having safety concerns.
Yeah, aging airplanes.
Buy used airplanes.
They do, which, most airplanes are really kind of older anyways, but saying that a lot of the parts that they use to service them aren't produced anymore and they're reconditioned and that kind of stuff. But also, I think something about the statistic was, and I don't know if it was accurate or not, but said something like you're like 30% more prone to have some sort of an event happen on Allegiant Air.
Delays and stuff like that.
Well, not only that, but mechanical failures too. So,
Yeah.
I'm okay with a delay. I don't want no mechanical issues
yet. Yeah, exactly. We don't need to run into that. But you know what? I'm not going to change my plans for it either. I mean, it is what it is. I'm going to live with it. It didn't scare me off. How about that? But anyway, enough of that. This isn't the airline show. This is the Wrecking and Racing NASCAR show. So what we're getting to, again, kind of digress a little bit.
Airplanes wreck, though. Just throwing that
okay, yeah. So let's hope they don't, but yes. So what I was getting to, again, digressing a little bit, is just the fan participation on Monday. NASCAR people such as Michael Waltrip, Kenny Wallace, Ricky Craven were calling out the fans and for disappointment. Again, I understand there weren't a lot of fans there. I don't think it was from people not buying tickets. I could be wrong. I think it's from the fact it's on a Monday and people do have jobs. Tennessee is a very blue-collar area, especially eastern Tennessee. Those people probably rely on that money and probably don't have a lot of vacation to use. So, I mean, that is somewhat of an assumption on my part. If I'm wrong, please call me out on that, fans. But I think it's a safe assumption. Mm-hmm. And if I was in their position, like I said, we talked about Daytona, we would have to miss it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you fans are listening, if you want to rebut that or combat us on that, feel free, reach out to us.
Or tell us what, you know, how do you plan if you're going to go to a race? Do you take an extra day or do you, you know?
Yeah, it'd be actually, you know, that'd be a great conversation online. So, yeah, please reach out to us, you know, and we'll throw it on Facebook or Twitter or something.
Yeah, well, you know, leave us a comment, tweet us, something like that. But curious to know what, you know, other fans plan for or how they anticipate, you know, traveling for the races, so.
Well, before we start getting into news and other stories within the NASCAR industry, what's your takeaways from Bristol?
I thought it was a pretty interesting race. Maybe the best race of the year. Texas, though, I feel was a pretty good race. You know, kind of comparing apples to oranges, short track to mile and a half. But, you know, Texas was a pretty good race, I thought. But it's just... I think the delays and not me not being able to see the Monday part of the race kind of decides my into my factor there a little bit.
Yeah, do you feel the old Bristol's back?
I think it was a good step in the right direction.
I agree. That's kind of what I was going to get to is I think overall the product it produced was decent.
It's the best it's been in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally a generation of fans right now that don't know Bristol that we know.
Mm-hmm.
So those youngins out there that watch this race, hopefully they were excited about it.
Yeah.
And we do need some more of that kind of bring them back. So
yeah, I'm curious to know what Richmond will be like this weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love short tracks. So.
And where are they going to, you know, they put down that
VH1
or PBJ, whatever it is. Are they going to use that anywhere else? Or is that just...
I'm sure they're going to because they keep using it without telling anybody they're going to use it. I mean, they put it down, but they don't really talk about it anymore. I'm sure the drivers and teams know, but as fans, they don't really come on the show and say, oh, yeah, we're going to do it this week at this time. So I'm sure they will, though. I'm sure they will. Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if, you know...
Outside Groove at Richmond?
Yeah, or... yeah. Like, to get more... Because Richmond, it's either one or two things. It's a complete snooze fest or... It's a decent, or a good, you know, caution-filled race. So,
yeah.
Just, you know, if they were to utilize a little bit of that, maybe on the middle groove there, second, you know, maybe that spice things up or provide some better racing. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll have to see. Yeah, I got my expectations are a little high. My hopes are high. So, we'll see. So, going into news this week, let's talk a little bit. I want to talk about Xfinity just briefly. Congratulations to Ryan Preece for winning the Xfinity race and the Dash for Cash this week. What I wanted to talk about in regards to Xfinity was, did you see Daniel Hemric got penalized?
I did, and then they took him out of the Dash for Cash eligibility for this weekend, right?
Exactly. Then they came back and said, we made a mistake. It's not a penalty after all. So now,
see, that I didn't see, really.
Yeah, so now Daniel Hemric's back into the Dash for Cash. And NASCAR,
Brandon Jones.
Yeah, NASCAR had to call up Joe Gibbs Racing and say, hey, by the way, your driver's not going to be eligible after all. So
at that point, I feel like they just need to add Brandon Jones to it.
And make it a five-man race?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against that.
That's like, what was it, 2012 when they added Gordon to the chase?
Yeah.
Because of the whole Waltrip Racing.
Yeah, with Clint Bowyer and, yeah.
Yeah, Racegate scandal thing, whatever it was.
So I'm actually saying kudos to NASCAR for stepping up, manning up, and admitting their fault.
Yeah.
But
they could have swept it under the rug.
They could have, but let's try to make the calls right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but when you're playing with the man's emotions, like Dash for Cash may not seem like a big deal, but $100,000 extra, that's a big deal.
Yeah, especially
for Xfinity guys.
Especially for these guys. They're trying to get established, yeah. Trying to make a name for themselves. These Dash for Cash races, there are no cup racers in those. So
exactly. So again, they're putting themselves in a position where they actually have a leg up
this
against the other racers.
Could literally make or break your career, potentially.
And Daniel Hemric talking about that. He actually going to make his first cup start next week or this week at Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
So he went from having a penalty to no penalty.
What's he driving?
Childress, I'm assuming. I don't know 100% sure. I just heard he's starting. I'm assuming Childress, though.
Is it the 8?
Yeah, that's right. It's the 8. It's the Green Mountain Snuff or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. I forgot about that. Actually, I even wrote a blog about that, and I forgot all about it. WreckingandRacing.com. We have our blogs. We're not just a podcast.
Oh, gas, man.
Yeah, my memory's horrible. I'm getting old, folks. I apologize. So anyway, I just want to bring that up, talk about the situation with Dale Hemric and how NASCAR kind of flubbed on that one. Kind of manned up and owned it, though. Good for them, because they don't always do that. So, other news this week, anything you want to throw out?
Yeah. So, while we're talking about Xfinity Series, they currently run the Mustang. Guess what's coming to Cup Series next year? The Mustang.
Maybe you should say it a little louder so our fans can hear.
They heard it.
Yeah. So, the Mustang is coming to Cup. So, now we're going to have the Camaro, we're going to have the Mustang, and we're going to have a Camry.
Yep.
So, what's Toyota going to bring? I posted this on Facebook. I got like no response. But what is Toyota going to bring to the pony show?
The Camry.
Why not? If it's kicking ass the way they are sometimes, why not? Just stick with it.
What is this, the second year for it?
That body style, yes.
I mean,
the updated Camry.
Why would they mess with a good thing? I understand from a marketing perspective, like if you've got another platform, another model you want to push, but
they don't have one they can use right now.
No.
Not in my eyes.
Now, the Supra is going back into production.
So, eventually there will be. And we did see
2019.
Yeah, we have seen NASCAR kind of use a platform that's in development, get ready to launch, and, you know, put that car in a Cup Series.
Mm-hmm.
So, that could be a possibility. Maybe, you know, 2020 be a Supra or something before it hits the roads.
I don't think that'll happen, though. I'd like to see it happen, but I don't see it happening. And here's why. Everything that I'm reading is that the Supra is going to be more of a higher-end sports car, like BMW Z4, and I don't think it's going to target the right price point or demographic.
That'd be more probably for like a Rolex 24 type series?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, I hope they do it, but you know,
I see that.
I just don't think it's the right demographic.
Yeah.
I don't know how many NASCAR fans are going to be willing to go spend $60,000 on a Toyota Supra.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wouldn't, because if it's got a twin turbo V6 with 450 horsepower like they're talking about, I mean, there's worse ways to spend your money. But I just don't see them kicking out the Camry after the success that they've had. Now, could they just throw some stickers on it and call it a Supra? Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
yep. So, we'll kind of keep an eye on that over the next year, and you know, we'll see. And maybe we'll hear rumblings and stuff about it. But as of right now, Camaro and Mustang and Cup, and Camry and Cup next year.
Mm-hmm.
We talked earlier about Ricky Stenhouse having a good run at Bristol this week. You know, kind of pushing for the lead a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's some news out, maybe just as of today, actually, that I guess good for Stenhouse and for Roush, both. His sponsors have been extended through 2021. That's Sonny D, Fastenal, and Fifth Third Bank.
Yeah.
So good for him. So that's a little kind of breaking news. If you haven't heard that, you heard it first here at WreckingRacing.com.
Yeah, good for Roush.
So, there's a couple things I want to talk about. I'm going to give it to you, give the floor to you for a moment, because I know that you have something you want to discuss.
Yeah, the only other thing I think I've got would be around, you know, the whole pit gun issue came up again this weekend.
Good old pit guns.
So
get tired of hearing that yet?
This time, Denny Hamlin was vocal about it, you know, basically saying that they're no good, for a lack of, you know, better terms or viewer-friendly verbiage there. But Steve O'Donnell came back and said, well, you know, yeah, these are slower. This is slower equipment. They don't, you know, remove the lugs as fast as the, you know, equipment they were used to. And it basically came out and said, the pit crews are moving too fast.
Yeah, what kind of sense does that make?
I don't.
That is kind of one of the leverages or advances for your team, is to have trained crew members be as fast as they can. Exactly. Now they're being limited.
Right.
They have restrictor plates on them.
Exactly. I mean, that's a good way to put it. So, Dustin Long published something. I guess he had a quote or had a piece where he talked to Denny Hamlin after the race Monday, and Denny basically said, you know, if it fixes the issue, then Joe Gibbs Racing will supply all of the pit guns to all of the teams.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
And then that was later refuted by Joe Gibbs. He kind of shied away from that. But
yeah, that'd be... Talk about having a target on your back if you have one problem.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true. But, you know, they're also, if you remember, Gibbs was the one that spent, like, what they was rumored was, like, $500,000 on these air guns, getting them developed and being the most, you know, fastest equipment out there.
Yeah, it's an advantage.
And so. It was. It was giving them an advantage until the other teams kind of got a hold, I think, and saw the technology and was able to.
Yeah, and that's the way of NASCAR.
Yeah, been, yeah, so. You're always looking for an edge somehow, but it's just funny, you know, that continues to come up, and I don't know, I think NASCAR kind of seems to be skirting it each week that it comes up. What are they actually doing about it?
Yeah, so they're saying they have meetings scheduled, I think, this week, actually, and they're going to talk about it, but essentially, they keep saying, oh, it's not an issue, there's no issue there. So I do feel like NASCAR's kind of being caught with their pants down on this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Steve O'Donnell's trying to save face, but it's not working. That's my feelings on it.
Right. Where it's only going to last so long. When it becomes a weekly issue.
It is a weekly issue. Exactly. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing it.
Exactly. So there's an issue.
Yeah, exactly. So, interesting concept about pit guns that was actually brought up this week by Dale Jr. You remember back in the All-Star race, they used to have, like, pit crew challenges and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
So now if you're mandating the equipment that the teams can use, it's now more about the team, right?
True.
Bring back the pit challenges.
Yeah.
It's kind of like running IROC for pits.
Yeah. I don't even remember last year that they did that.
I remember watching it, too. I think we watched a couple together, but mm-hmm. It was interesting. It's kind of like... Whenever you go into the NBA All-Star Weekend, you have the, you know, slam dunk contest, the three-point contest, like I said, you had all these little festivities. That was kind of one of those added festivities that people could watch, and, you know, it's entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
So I definitely think that Junior's onto something there. I think NASCAR should really look into bringing something like that back. I mean, I remember Matt Kenseth and the Killer Bees. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
So kind of those guys... I think the pit crews in today's environment is more, almost, if not more important than the drivers itself.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, 20, 30 years ago, that may not have been the case. I don't think that's the case, but now I do. The sport is so regulated. I think the crews, the engineers play just such a pivotal role.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that NASCAR should look in a way to appreciate them, to bring them to the spotlight. You know, so that's my two cents on that. But I think Dale Jr.'s on something.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically giving them a box of tools and saying, here, deal with this.
Yeah, and that's not fair to them. But hey, like I said, find a way to reward them, acknowledge them. Sure. So the last thing I was going to bring up and talk about, did you listen to the podcast between Kyle Busch and Dale Jr.?
I got about halfway through it. Yeah.
Okay, so essentially,
I ran out of time. It was actually today driving home from work. So
yeah, and it was kind of, it's like 70 minutes, 75 minutes. So a little bit longer than our podcast.
Yeah, it was a longer one for sure.
So kind of quick history. 10 years ago, Kyle Busch spun. Some people think intentionally, some people don't. Junior at Richmond for the win. Essentially, okay, I'm going to admit some things here. Okay?
Uh-oh.
I am a Dale Jr. fan. I have been my whole, well, since he's been in an Xfinity series on. I was a senior fan, etc. That's how that developed. But anyway, I digress. The event that happened that night, I was pissed. Man, was I pissed. Screaming, yelling.
But you weren't the one that was giving death threats to Kyle, were you?
No. Not officially. So, I definitely said some choice words. I have hated Kyle Busch every day since then.
So, that's the sole reason?
There's accumulation of things. Because I always thought he was a little pansy and kind of a diva. But that was like... the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
So if you remember, that was in 08.
Yeah.
And 07 was just a whirlwind year. One of the races that really stick out to me that really made me look at Kyle Busch as a diva. Do you remember Texas that year?
I don't.
Mm-mm. Remember Junior driving Kyle's car?
I do remember that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Texas.
I don't remember anything else about the race, but I do remember that. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, Kyle and Junior end up getting taken out. Essentially, Kyle Busch got dressed, left the track or whatever.
Thought that he couldn't. The car would not get back out on the track.
Yeah, and Junior's car was not able to get back on the track. So what actually happened is that Junior was available, and they needed a driver for that car because Kyle Busch already took off. So Junior stepped in and drove that car. They actually talked about that today on the show.
Squeezed into Kyle's seat.
Yeah, he said Kyle's such a skinny little kid that he had to sit sideways in the seat. And then he said if he got in a wreck, he'd die probably. It's one of the scariest things he's ever done. So, good for Junior wanting to take that initiative. You know, he said he wanted to drive Hendrick's cars because he heard so much stuff about him. And ironically, all that transpired a week before Junior announced he was leaving DEI.
Mm-hmm.
So then people start putting two and two together when he went to Hendrick saying, oh, he already knew. He already knew.
But he didn't.
He didn't, no.
The funny part about it.
No. So in this conversation, they kind of talk about that. But that was my pivotal moment. I looked at him and said, man, Kyle Busch really is a diva. Sissy left the track and Junior had to drive his car for him. That makes him look like an idiot. Well, still staying forward 10 years later. Kind of my thoughts still, but a little bit better than what they were. So essentially, Kyle threw his little fits or whatever. They kind of battled back and forth through the year. And then that moment happened at Richmond. When that moment happened at Richmond, I don't think it was just me. I think Junior Nation just put their foot down.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's funny because they even brought up the fact that, what was it, a year later when Junior... exacted revenge.
Exactly. Nobody talks about it. Nobody remembers it.
Yeah, just remember the fact that they hate Kyle because Kyle took out Junior. Yeah. But no one remembers that
and
Junior.
And most people can't tell you the moment that Kyle took out Junior, just say he did it, so he's an asshole.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of get that. I mean, over time we forget what we're mad about, right? But we know we're mad about something. And that's in our personal lives as well. But so essentially... that moment, I hated Kyle Busch. The moment I'm at right now, after listening to their conversation between Junior and Kyle, I realized a little bit. I don't like Kyle Busch, but I don't hate him as much. If that makes sense. So, if you're Kyle Busch fans, hey, we need you all. Kyle brings stuff to the sports. I'm not taking that away from him because we need people like him.
Did you hear what Junior called? They said there are a very few select fans that are Kyle Busch
unicorns
and Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans.
Unicorns.
They call them unicorns.
I am not a unicorn.
You're not a unicorn?
I always thought you were
a unicorn guy.
No. But I mean, I had some really good takeaways from that conversation though. One is, I learned a little bit about Kyle Busch that I didn't know. So for the fans listening out there that haven't listened to the Dale Jr.'s podcast, a couple things to throw out there for you. Kyle Busch, when he was up and coming, I remember us being, I don't want to say what grade, but I remember us having a conversation about him. Like, man, you see this guy coming up, you know, real young and might be younger than us maybe even, you know, coming up and going to be racing a cup. And there's a big deal about, you know, his age and stuff like that. So I definitely remember that. I remember our conversations about that. Mm-hmm. But when he actually was coming up, he had three offers. He had an offer from Roush to have like a 7-year offer. He had an offer,
which is still a common theme over there.
Yeah, right. Right. And then he has a
ask Trevor Bayne. Which okay, I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
go
yeah, let's
that
not
road.
Go there. So and then we have a Xfinity Hendrick deal.
Yeah.
And then here's the, I knew about those two, but there's a deal that I never knew about. Is that DEI was actually talking to Kyle about coming up and racing part-time schedule with Martin Truex, them splitting the seat.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea about that.
I'd never
that.
Heard it either.
So that's kind of an interesting takeaway that, you know, at one time they could have been teammates.
Yeah. That's what I like about listening to, you know, drivers that do their own podcasts and stuff is like...
The insights?
Getting the insight information that you never, never knew.
Yeah. So... What could have happened? You know, we know what happened now. I mean, we obviously Kyle went to Hendrick, blah blah blah.
Yeah, and the whole dialogue about, I guess they talked. You know, they asked Junior like, "What should we do? Should we let Mears go or should we let Busch go?" And I guess Jimmy Johnson and Gordon actually thought, "Hey, let's keep Mears. We think he could, you know, progress and be a little bit better." Boy, were they wrong there.
No comment. We love all of our drivers.
But Junior was
DJ
like...
Kennington.
But Junior was like, you know, hey, I don't... You know, basically saying Kyle's probably not the one you should let go, but ultimately we all know how it worked out. But, I, you know, again, that's another insight that you never thought about, that they were thinking about weighing Mears versus Busch. You know, it's easy... History's hindsight's always 20/20, right? But it's just funny to think about that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen to Kyle talk about all the events that went down between him and Junior and how they spent 10 years hating each other. And they really didn't hate each other, but they thought each other hated each other, so it's kind of like a miscommunication created a stigma, I guess. But he had to have extra security for the rest of 2008.
Yeah.
People were throwing things at him, cussing him out, death threats. Yeah, he said that he had to be escorted off a track by a cop. He's asking the cop what's going on. And he said there's a guy somewhere with a shotgun.
Yeah, even FBI was involved for a while.
So, poor Kyle. I actually do feel bad for Kyle going through that. Now, one moment that comes to my mind about Kyle, I don't remember what year it was. Do you remember the awards banquet when he called his girlfriend the wrong name? I don't know why that sticks in my head, but
yeah,
do you remember
I do.
That?
I do remember that, yeah.
I think it's right when he started dating Samantha.
I remember someone doing it. I don't even remember that it was Kyle.
Oh,
I
remember
been Kurt for all.
No, yeah, that was the Kurt dated the assassin. But no, Kyle called his girlfriend the wrong name at an award ceremony. That was really hilarious. I'm glad he fell flat on his face during that. It made me feel good. So, you know, other thing that I took away from that is that maybe Kyle Busch isn't the bad guy everybody gives him a rap for. I think somewhat of it nowadays is
self-inflicted.
It is, because he can't keep his damn mouth shut.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I kind of relate to that, actually, because I have the same word vomit issue occasionally. but essentially, I think that he discovered early on that that was like his persona that he's expected to play out. So I think he kind of utilizes that through today.
Right.
It's kind of like WWE. You know the persona that works, stick with it, right? Why change it up?
Yeah.
So, did you have any other takeaways from that or anything?
No, nothing on the, you know, Dirty Mo podcast. Only thing I got, I think that I want to cover is just make some picks for Richmond.
Okay. You want to talk about standings and stuff first before we talk
about
picks?
Sure.
Okay. So, the top five currently is Busch at 1, Logano at 2, Harvick at 3, Bowyer at 4, and Keselowski at 5th. I might as well throw Blaney in there, too. He's in 6. So, we have Penske, Stuart Haas, Penske. And obviously Kyle Busch leading, but again, the Stewart Haas team just is just so consistent.
Yeah.
So
it kind of baffles me. Logano is second in points.
He's been a sleeper this year. Yeah. Nobody's talking about him.
He's just slowly being consistent and not raising a lot of people's eyebrows, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because if you time it right, I mean,
yeah,
all you need is to get hot in the chase, right? So
exactly. Larson's ninth. Kurt Busch is 10th, so I mean, there's another Stewart Haas for you. Almirola's 11th.
Yeah, so they're all four in the top 11.
Yeah. All right, so a couple other notable ones. Elliott's 23rd. Jimmy
after
is
17th. Two penalties.
Yeah.
I'm a little sour on that, sorry.
Yeah, I understand. But I put him up to what, 13th, 14th?
Well, on the cusp. After Bristol, I don't know.
Yeah, but on the cusp.
Yeah, last week it would have been.
So, I mean, that's kind of where we stand. Really nothing impressive. I don't really see anything that stands out to me and saying, like, anybody's blowing me away other than maybe Almirola. Kind of definitely doing better than I thought he was going to. Menard, 16th. That's kind of what I expected. Newman, 15th. That's kind of about what I expected. Same thing with Austin. Bowman's 13th. That's the bright spot for Hendrick right now, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing I want to throw out there. I want to throw a bone out to David Reagan. Finished 12th at Bristol.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't hit on that.
Yeah, I remember that one Bristol race where David Reagan spun three times in like 20 minutes. So, yeah, good for him. I mean, he's able to complete a race. I'm sorry.
Easy now.
I'm sorry.
He's got a couple wins.
Strategy based wins? Yeah. Well, good for him.
One was Talladega or Daytona.
Yeah, wins a win. So, good for him. So, Richmond picks, right?
Yep.
We're going to do it by team. Just throw it out there.
Who are you going with?
My winner for
Richmond. You're writing it down this week?
I'm writing it down so I don't forget. And I have not put any thought into this. So, my winner for Richmond.
Yeah, I'm going to write mine down too. We're gonna unveil it at the same time, okay?
Okay, sure. We're just going to do just winner?
Yeah, for right now.
Okay.
All right, ready?
No, hold on. I'm thinking. I haven't.
You just said no thought went into this, and you started writing, and now you're thinking.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Who you got?
Boyer.
I got Larson. Boyer.
Yeah, Boyer runs really good at Richmond.
He does. Yeah, he actually won that race where Kyle and Junior crashed.
Yeah, he did. So I'm going. Boyer had a little momentum. He didn't do too bad this race. Come from Martinsville where he won. So
okay. I'm going Larson. He won Richmond last time we were there. Coming off a good run at Bristol. I think he needs a good run. I think he'll have a good run. How about a dark horse? Who are you picking?
That's a good question. Dark horse. Byron, top five.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go Paul Menard. Shot in the dark. Paul Menard.
Okay. I'm surprised you ever go for Paul Menard for anything.
Yeah, it's against my better judgment, but yeah.
There's some bad blood there. We went to a Brickyard 1 year, and he's Lugs' expectation was the 24 to win, and that did not happen.
And it was gonna happen until Menard had to pull pit strategy out of his, you know what?
Yeah. So okay, we'll follow up on those next week.
But again, a win is a win. So
yes, yeah, exactly. We'll follow up. We'll kind of, you guys can keep us on track. Call us out on stuff if we're right, we're wrong, etc. Again, fans, thank you for listening. This completes our week.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Reach out to us, talk to us, wreckingracing@gmail.com, wreckingracing.com. Find us on hell everything: Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play.
Hopefully Spotify soon, too.
Spotify, I'm waiting for an answer back from them. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, Spotify, too.
We had to have, five, and this will be our fifth. So
maybe already submitted us, so they were actually under review already.
Cool.
So anyway, folks, please reach out to us, talk to us, say hi. We want to hear from you. You are the reason we do this show. We love you guys. And hopefully we get to meet some of you at Daytona.
Have a good week.
Thank you.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.